away, day games, night games, from the first inning to the last pitch. And Mike Zunino's jaw-dropping power means
a mammoth grand slam, Mike Zunino.
In this case, the kids are more than all right.
Strike three, got him! Edwin Diaz shuts it down. Rock on, young fella.
Mariners baseball, true to the blue.
The series with the Mariners AL West rival, the Houston Astros, continues tonight at 7:10, followed by a special 1:10 start tomorrow afternoon. Make plans now to step out of the office and into the sun at Safeco Field to catch Mariners baseball as Nelson Cruz and the Mariners take on Jose Altuve and the Astros. For tickets to catch all the action, visit Mariners.com.
710 KIRO AM Seattle. KIRO FM HD2 Tacoma. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app.
You ready to answer?
The voice of Seattle sports.
No doubt about it.
710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour, Brock and Salk, brought to you by Tackle. Busy, busy morning out at Seahawks training camp. Fans just coming out onto the berm. I literally saw the race, Brock. I saw the first guy out there. He was sprinting. I mean, good burst out of the gate, not going to lie. Good burst out of the gate. He was the only one running, though.
Right.
Which made it a little embarrassing. I mean, everybody else sort of walked out calmly to their spot.
I mean,
and
really
this dude,
important. I mean, 100 yards of fence line there is really important to get your spot.
You
got to
be number one. You don't want to choose. You don't want to be third or fifth. Not only do you have to be first line, you got to sprint out there to make sure you get the exact right spot. So he was number one. We got NFL Network out here. Tom Pelissero's next to me. He's getting ready to do one of his hits. It's a good day. It's cold, cloudy, a little overcast here at training camp. So that's kind of the vibe here today. In the meantime, Mariners get a great win last night, and the trade deadline is nearly upon us. We are 4 hours until baseball's trade deadline. Jerry Dipoto still scrambling to make another move. He was on with us earlier this morning, said that he was hoping to get a deal done for another position player. Let's talk to Jeff Passan, who joins us every single Tuesday, or every other Tuesday, rather, at this time. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
I don't get the intro?
We can give you your intro.
Jeff Passan, the wet blanket, raining on parades, harsh and buzzes all day.
They're going to have bad years coming up.
Jeff Passan, the wet blanket.
There you go. Sets up the day perfectly.
That will never get old.
Have you played
so
that for your kids yet?
No, but my wife actually would absolutely love that because she says the same thing all the time. She just says, you're such a wompster. Why do you just womp it up all day long?
All right, well, I want to get to what you wrote today. I want to talk about Osuna and what the Astros did. I want to talk for a few minutes first about the Mariners, who made a couple of, I don't know, you can't call them blockbusters for sure. I don't know if they're quite minor moves. They're probably somewhere closer to minor. What do you make of the three deals they have made to bring in relievers here over the last week?
I'm totally down for it. I mean, I think that when the bullpen has been worked as hard as it has, you need to have, like, decent backup guys there. And I think Tui Villala's arm can be a frontline reliever type down the road, and I like seeing a team going out and, you know, taking a flyer on a guy with a live arm like that. And I think Zach Duke is an absolutely perfect loogie to bring in. You know, he's going to be your left-handed one-out guy, and that's all you really need from him. And Adam Warren is almost a bridge-type guy who can give you 2-3 innings in the middle. He can pitch high-leverage innings late if you need him. He's a good pitcher. And so I think all three of the moves made the Mariners a better ball club and really are relieving a little bit of the pressure that Scott Servais has put on his bullpen by taxing them as much as he has so far this season.
Is there another move? Is there another name out there that could make them better over the next 4 hours?
It's, you know, it's tough to say. When Tommy Pham got traded, I thought Tommy Pham would have been absolutely perfect. And I think part of The issue is that the Mariners just simply do not have the type of prospect depth that, say, the Tampa Bay Rays had to go out and get a guy like Pham. But, you know, he can play center field. He can play right field. He gets on base a little bit. He's got power. He hits the ball really hard. I think that would have been the type of move to see them go for. I just don't know if there's a whole lot, frankly, of inventory out there. I mean, I guess theoretically you could go and get a Brian Dozier type and move D. Gordon back to center field and have Robinson Cano sliding over to first base and taking most of the reps there when he's back. And Dozier would be another bat in a lineup that could use another bat. But I think if the Mariners right now stick with what they've got, I just don't know if that true impact type guy is out there. And even if he is, if they would have enough to go out and get him.
What do you make of Adam Jones? Sorry, go ahead.
The incremental moves they've made, I think, are positive and are probably the best that they would be able to do with what they've got.
The name that keeps coming up here is Adam Jones, partially because of the familiarity, but partially because he's a center fielder still who is in the final year of his deal. It doesn't sound like he's going to get dealt, but what do you make of him?
I think Adam Jones would be great there, and the impression that I've gotten is that there's absolutely no chance he's moving at this point.
Why is that? Because of him or because of the Orioles?
I think because of him. I think because he is comfortable in Baltimore. I think he is familiar with Baltimore. I think his family is in Baltimore. And I think he almost, after a decade there, wants there to be... I'm not even going to say like a happy ending, because it's not going to be particularly happy when you're on a 40-something win team. But I think he wants to end his career there potentially on his own terms and be able to say a proper goodbye. Like, Adam Jones is an exceedingly thoughtful guy. And I think stuff like that matters to him. And having to rush it, I just don't think that would sit well with him.
Jeff Passan with us. I'm going to give you three storylines here. Which one do you think is the most compelling? And you can project it any way you want. The Seattle Mariners are 20 games over 500 with a -1 run differential. The Seattle Mariners, as the calendar turns to August 1st tomorrow, find themselves just 3 back of the Houston Astros and possibly 2 after tonight. Or the Seattle Mariners find themselves now being chased by an Oakland A's team that's added and may add today and find themselves just 2 games ahead of Oakland moving into August as well.
They're all so good, Brock. Like, that's the thing. I'm fascinated by every single one of them. There are very rarely teams that can do what the Mariners have done, which is play to a negative run differential and be 20 games above 500 this deep into the season. It is a testament to their ability to win close games. It is a testament to just in July alone. Do you guys know what Alex Colome and Edwin Diaz have done in July?
Filthy.
21 and two-thirds scoreless innings, 11 hits, 35 strikeouts, 5 walks. Like, it's ridiculous how good they've been. And Mike, you know what? I'm going to walk back what I said probably a month ago. Edwin Diaz has been the best reliever in the American League this year.
Oh, actually, that wasn't Mike. You can direct that towards me, please.
Oh.
Okay. That was my comment to you, and then you rattled off. Everybody always gives you credit for everything.
Nah,
you rattled off Doolittle, and you rattled off Aroldis Chapman, and you rattled off, and you're like, and I could even go further. But also, too, let's put it this way. I could go 5 or 6 deep.
Brock, hold on a second. You are like the good-looking guy with great hair, and you were a quarterback, and you're stealing a little credit from poor Mike Sauce.
Isn't that crazy?
You really want to do that? You really want to be like the bully who has everything?
And I have nothing. I have so little, Brock. You can't even give me this.
I'm telling you. You greedy bastard. Yeah.
Terrible. Thank you. Jeff, this is why you're here. Somebody finally tells Brock what
it is. I'm sorry, Mike. You know what? I'm sorry. We've had a lot of infighting on our show today, okay? We've had fingers pointed, a lot of backstabbing, so I apologize. But, yeah, you'll backtrack from that one now? Eddie Diaz has been the best closer in baseball?
Yes. Yeah, he has been the best this year. He's been absolutely awesome. And Blake Trinan's been great, too. Diaz has been better. But the second point you were making, the fact that they're three games back of the Astros. The Astros are an unquestionably great baseball team. And the Mariners find themselves within striking distance and could be in first place, theoretically, within a week. And went and shut them out last night with a guy who, when he is at his best, is as good as any pitcher in baseball. And I don't say that exaggerating. Like, when James Paxton is on, he can go and stand toe-to-toe with Chris Sale. He can stand toe-to-toe with Max Scherzer. He can go up against just about anybody out there. And yet that lingering feeling of dread, because the Oakland A's are a good baseball team, and they are only two games behind the Mariners right now. As quickly as the Astros could be out of first place and the Mariners in, the Mariners could be out of the playoff picture and the A's in. So it makes for a fascinating rest of the season for the American League, even though there really are only six teams playing for five playoff spots.
Jeff, what would you do with Felix Hernandez? He was god-awful on Saturday. He talked after the game and really for the first time said, I'm embarrassed, I don't know what to say. I personally believe they should take him out of the rotation. I think it's time. What would you do if you were Scott Servais coming up here in a couple days?
I mean, who do you put in? Elias? Bergman? Like...
You're gonna get Erasmo Ramirez back shortly. You could have one start from either Elias or Bergman or Casey Lawrence or somebody that you don't love. But I don't know how much longer you can start Felix.
And do you stick Felix in the bullpen or do you DL him?
I think you got a little cramp in the back. I think a little back cramp or something.
I mean, he's been horrible, like undeniably really bad, and I don't think he's been, let's put it this way, I don't think he has pitched as bad as his ERA says, but it's pretty close. And this is the, this is the same thing that I think the Mariners were facing earlier this season with Ichiro, only whereas it was a roster spot with Ichiro and a 25th man, with Felix, it's a rotation spot. It's every fifth day. And so the impetus to make that change, I think, is stronger than ever. And as difficult as it may be, I agree with you. And I think Felix Hernandez would understand at this point, because we're 20-plus starts into the season, and he still hasn't figured it out.
What's going on with this Houston team? Why are they? Is it just an Altuve and Correa injury? The move they make yesterday, you wrote about it. I know we're going to dig into that in a moment here. But this Houston team is just maybe not as, and it's been shut out a number of times, just not as dominant as you think those 25 men on that piece of paper should be.
I don't know, man. They're 26 games over 500 with a plus 177 run differential. Like, that's a pretty good team. And I understand they've lost five games in a row right now, and they're wearing it pretty hard at this point. But I still have as much faith in the Astros as I did a week ago. When you lose Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve, two of the, 25 best players in baseball,
yeah,
that's going to hurt.
Can those linger? Can those injuries linger for another week, 2 weeks? Ray, do we have any clear conclusion on when those guys should be coming back?
I mean, I don't know the specifics of the severity, and I also don't know, how much truth teams are telling in terms of when guys are going to be back. So I would hate to speculate on something like that. But the fact that they went out yesterday and traded for Roberto Osuna, I think, shows me a little bit that the Astros, not that they're worried, because I don't think they have a whole lot of reason to be worried at this point, but the fact that they are going out and doing that says something, I think, about where their state of mind is, and it's that they still have aspirations to win the World Series this year and still plan on doing everything they possibly can to put themselves in a position to do so, no matter what it looks like morally.
Well, what does it look like morally?
Bankrupt. I mean, that's the phrase that I used in my column. It's moral bankruptcy. And here's the thing. The details of what allegedly happened have not been released by the prosecutors in Canada yet. But there is significant consensus around baseball and among executives who have at least dug in a little bit to the case that it is as ugly as anything that they have heard. And this is not minimizing what happened with Aroldis Chapman or with any of the other players who have been accused of and suspended for domestic violence incidents, but that it dwarfs them. And to see Jeff Luhnow yesterday come out and try to talk about how the Astros have a zero tolerance policy was among the more shameless things I've ever seen covering baseball. I'm not trying to be a prisoner of the moment or exaggerate here, but to trade for somebody who on August 1st is scheduled to be in court for a domestic violence case and say that's policy, it's beyond the pale to me.
Yeah, it's ugly, man. There's no way. The last thing we can get to here, Jeff, and then we'll let you go, is there any chance it blows up the Astros?
Hell yeah, there's a chance that it blows up. I hope that it blows up. And I don't hope it blows up because I have any animus against the Houston Astros in particular. I hope that it blows up because I'd like for there to be a lesson that's given to a Major League Baseball team, and that's out there as an object lesson for the other 29 other Major League Baseball teams, which is that when you play in the mud, you're going to get dirty. And this is more than playing in the mud. This is rolling in it. This is caking yourself in it. This is just so dirty and gross and wrong. It angers me. Like I am viscerally mad that something like this happened, that not just that Roberto Osuna is getting a second opportunity, but the notion that the Houston Astros are somehow going to serve as some sort of rehabilitative center for him. And you guys had the same issue with Josh Lukey. Like you saw it. And it was before, I think, we as a country became as attuned and aware to the scourge that is domestic violence. I think we always knew that assaulting a woman is a horrific thing. But I think it's been so difficult to talk about because it's such a grotesque thing to do that we've stopped ourselves from doing so. And I think that's wrong. And I hope that things like this allow us to have this conversation, as difficult as it may be, and to look at one another and to look at the people who are doing things that almost make it seem okay and say, no, it's not okay. It's never going to be okay. And you should not put yourself in a position or the rest of the players on this team in a position to have to vouch for it or validate it.
Well, I want to apologize too. I should have never taken the spotlight away from Salt. So, Jeff, I promise you for the rest of this season that will not happen. I do want to get Mike on your podcast. It's
All
a goal
right.
of mine.
All right.
And I do. Please forgive me for just taking a little bit of his shine. That was not appropriate.
Look, it took me a month to apologize. It took you 5 minutes. So, Brock, you're a better man than I.
Yeah, see, now he's showing you up. Look at it. He shows up everybody. Can you imagine working with this every day, Jeff? It's awful.
Jeff Passan, the wet blanket, raining on parades, harsh and buzzes all day.
They're going to have bad years coming up.
Jeff Passan, the wet blanket.
Thanks, Jeff. Enjoy trade deadline day, buddy.
Shall do, boys. Take it easy.
There you go. There's Jeff Passan with us every other Tuesday. Joins us there in the Venue Kings Hotline. All right, Brock, we've heard a lot today. We've heard from Jerry DePoto. We've heard from John Morosi. And then we've heard from Jeff Passan. What'd you learn?
What I learned is what we knew going in, that the Mariners did not have a lot of money to play with. They did not have many toys to deal with. They were not going, and they're not going to just max out their credit cards. They're not going to do it with a couple of the young pieces they do have. They're just not going to do it. They like this team. They believe, I think, in this team and in the makeup of so many of these guys that are selfless, that maybe not be performing as admirably or to even their baseball cards on a number of different levels, but others pick them up. And it's why they're 20 games over 500. And these relievers were added to make sure that Diaz and Colum A can be at their very best over the next 50-some games so they can bring this sucker home.
Yeah, I feel like I learned a little bit from each of them. You know, from Jerry DePoto, first of all, we heard that Felix Hernandez, it sure sounds like, is going to make his next turn in the rotation. He didn't say that explicitly, but, you know, that was sort of the impression we both
got.
Yeah,
he did. I thought he did. I thought he said it
explicitly.
Business
as usual.
And then after Thursday, there will be conversations.
Okay.
So to me, that's Erasmo's not quite ready. We're not going to rush him up. We've done the bullpen thing, you know, the other day with
Paxton
being injured.
And they're not going to do Bergman or somebody else. And they probably can't just because of the roster inflexibility with all these other new guys showing up. So they may not have much of a choice. Felix probably makes his next start. Maybe he comes out and throws seven dominant innings and we've got a different conversation.
He probably will.
He probably will because that's baseball. And maybe he gets bombed again and this conversation becomes just, you know, as simple as we've kind of thought it is. In any event, we got that from Jerry DePoto, who is not looking right now or expecting to have a starting pitcher. He is in all likelihood still hoping to add somebody who can help as a bat, potentially in center field or somewhere else. We talked to John Morosi, who kind of gave us some more of that trade market. And as we hear names from him, Andrew McCutchen's name was one that was certainly mentioned. Adam Jones's name continues to come up, even though it may not be a real possibility if he doesn't want to leave Baltimore. So, you know, if you're looking for that center field option, there just aren't a lot of there's just not a lot of people out there. There's not a lot of places to go.
Granderson's a no go. The guy with Cardinals was is
Tommy
that who
Pham.
Yeah, that's a guy that seemed to fit from a.
He took two.
He got three. They got three prospects in exchange. I don't think it was too rich for our blood. I think
too rich.
Yeah, just didn't have. You know, he's not a money problem.
He was controllable
for
3 years plus.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just it's just not the right fit, unfortunately, for what the Mariners have to offer. And then you talk to Jeff Passan, and he's coming around on Diaz. He's buying the Mariners and all the moves they made. I don't know. Up is down. Up left is right. What's going on?
And there's still a minus one run differential, but you finally do get to a point in the season. I mean, you're 106 games in, right? There's just 56 to go now. You put those in that column in the winning category. You do get Houston here that is beat up, that's lost five games in a row, that is now going to bring in. And I don't know, Mike, is it an arrogance thing with some of these organizations? And I wonder if you feel the same way in baseball that you have been so steadfast in football, and that is it shouldn't be the Astros' decision. It shouldn't be the Seahawks' decision.
Right.
It shouldn't be these organizations' decisions who are their best interest to win. It should be baseball and the commissioner's office decision to get in and step in the fold and say, no, we are not doing this and allowing this guy to be traded and all of this media and all of this attention it's going to create.
That's how I feel. I don't like what Jeff Luhnow and the Astros did yesterday, but he's an available player. He's going to help them win. Baseball, to be fair, the guy had a 75-game suspension. That's not nothing. That is that's half a season. That is more than Roger Goodell has ever sniffed. I mean, that is a big-time half-a-year suspension. That is not nothing.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott got 8 games, right? He took a half of a season penalty as well. I mean, so
I guess it was. All right, I'll take it back. Fair enough.
Yep.
It took a long time to get
it
there.
Did.
But you're
right.
They did eventually get to an 8-game suspension. Fair enough. Regardless, that is not nothing.
Yep.
But I would rather have the decision taken out of the Astros' hands, and I don't really appreciate the sort of, we have a zero tolerance policy. Come on.
Right.
That's not true.
Right.
Obviously, you have some level of tolerance. I'm a little torn on the last thing Jeff said, though, about people learning that if you play in the mud, you get dirty. You know, the other option, though, is these guys like Justin Verlander speak out, it tears the team apart, and the lesson that some people learn is it doesn't pay to speak out.
Correct.
That it ends up, and I don't want that to be the lesson that comes out of this, right?
Nope. Nope, there's no easy answers to many of these things. I think that's what we always find when we dig into these. Obviously this, I'll say this. I'm really glad the Mariners did not make that move.
Yeah.
They don't need to. They've got the best closer going in baseball. They've got a tremendous Colome has had, those numbers that pass and rattle off in July are phenomenal. They did not have to, but I'd like to believe that even if there was a need, they would have not done this dance.
Yeah.
That they've learned their lesson in the past as well. And, we're not going to go down that road. Too many options, too many other opportunities, and we will just not be that team like Houston was yesterday to make that
move. I think that's the surprising thing from the Houston perspective is, really, there was nobody else you could have gotten who you could have acquired with all the prospects they have to be an impact reliever down the stretch?
Right.
It just seems surprising that they would feel compelled to go in a direction where a lot of other GMs have said, yeah, that's just simply off my board, not an option for us. Yep. All right, back to some football, Brock, as we sit out here at training camp today. There are some comments made from Brandon Marshall yesterday to John Clayton that I think everyone should hear, and a play made at practice yesterday that just makes me beam huge smile from ear to ear. Both next on Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Whew, what a day, man. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Hope you guys are having as good a day as we are. This hour brought to you by Tackle down at training camp today. Been a busy baseball day with Jerry DePoto joining us this morning and saying Felix would likely make his next start in the rotation. He's still looking to acquire a center fielder. No Leonis Martin. That's not going to happen. He just got dealt from the Tigers to Cleveland just a couple of minutes ago. So you can rest easy. No Leonis Martin, at least for this year. We also talked to John Morosi. We talked to Jeff Passan, and we talked to Bobby Wagner. Before we dig into a couple of things from yesterday, Brock, I thought it was interesting, once again, to hear Bobby Wagner, like everybody, mentioning Tedrick Thompson's name. Now, I don't know whether that is a direct note to Earl Thomas, like, hey, dude, your replacement's playing real well, but he's the third person now who has mentioned him to us, including KJ Wright, and who else was it who mentioned? Somebody else. Maybe it was Jaron Reed. I don't know. I feel like his name has been essentially everywhere. Yes. I was just eavesdropping just a moment ago on Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, who was next to me. The only name I heard him say was Tedrick Thompson. Like, T2 is everywhere.
Yeah, I think Bobby called him Tedrick Thomas, though. Which I found is a very positive sign that it's a little bit of Tedrick and a little bit of Earl Thomas. Maybe Earl's experience in playmaking, because Tedrick's done a ton of that. Yeah, KJ referencing, even in scout team last year, that Tedrick was one that made a lot of plays. And he's an instinctive player. I mean, I think that's what he is. When you look at the track record of many of these guys that have been brought in, to me, he leans a little bit like maybe Tyler Lockett. Like, if there's a comparison for me of a guy that was such a playmaker that was so productive, now, Tyler had a little bit more speed, and I said it, last week, and I'll say it again, if Tedrick would have run 4.4 at the combine, as silly as that is, and that number is, if he runs 4.4 at the combine, he's probably a second or third round pick. And doesn't fall where he does. So instincts, playmaking, understanding the game, those are all checks in his column. And, yeah, right now he's off to a great start in camp.
Yesterday, two things kind of jump out to me. One is from Brandon Marshall, longtime wide receiver. Clayton said today he's a borderline Hall of Famer. It's funny, I had not really thought about him as being a Hall of Famer. But, okay, fine, maybe borderline, he's in the conversation. His comments about Russell Wilson, yeah, those make Russell sound like a first ballot kind of guy.
You know, Eli Manning, I know there's a lot of talk about him on a decline, but he really hasn't declined, especially this offseason when I got an opportunity to work with him. He was special. I look like he's getting stronger, to be honest. But Russell Wilson, man, he's just a different breed, and also he's in his prime. So I'm excited to work with a guy like this. This is a champion.
Top five quarterback?
Top three quarterback. Top three quarterback for sure. Absolutely. And, if he continues to do the things he's doing, one day we're going to be talking about him as, possibly the best quarterback in the NFL.
All right. So, Brock, it's a really nice comment, and he takes top five, turns it into top three, and maybe eventually top one. Is it weakened at all by the fact that he complimented Eli Manning to start it?
Well, maybe softens it just a little bit.
It does soften it. But that's Eli, the scale.
He does have two Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he's been a champion.
Come on.
Yeah, but if you're Brandon Marshall, you've watched Russell, right? You've watched him on the other sidelines. You've watched a game tape. You get those 65 plays or so that you've watched, but you don't see the work behind the scenes of how much, you know, unlike maybe a Big Ben or some of these others, this guy loves to practice. And then you get a feel for just the arm talent. Like, this guy can really throw the ball. And if Brandon Marshall's strength is to leverage people and wants a quarterback to put it up and give them an opportunity, Russ does that. You know, he's done that for everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're a tight end off the streets, if you're a wide receiver that's here one week and cut the next, he is going to give you an opportunity to go up in those one-on-one situations and be a difference maker. I think Brandon's gotten a feel for that at these OTAs and minicamp. And I really hope this will all be about his availability. You know, if Brandon Marshall can be available at practice and keep ramping up and keep ramping up, and it's not like the workload is incredible in this day and age of the NFL. If he can be available, he's got a shot to make this team.
The other thing that happened yesterday that I can't help but loving is the fact that Shaquem Griffin picked off Russell in practice. Dude, that's awesome. You saw the video of it, right? You were there, right? So you actually saw it happen live. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, that was just a little zone read, and I haven't talked to Russell about it, but I wonder if there's a little bit of, hey, you're not supposed to get to that spot. I've told the story two or three times of Matt Hasselbeck with Earl Thomas early in Earl's career, his rookie year. And they're in a practice and they're running double post. And you're not supposed to get Earl from the middle of the field to that spot from A to B as quickly as you did to pick that ball off. That's just not what you're supposed to do. I didn't watch the tape or talk to Russell, but that's what my hope is. My hope is, hey, hold on a second, his own coverage. Most linebackers can't get from there to there. And maybe there's a little bit of the difference of a guy that runs sub 4.4. You know, the liability or the limits are he's 230 pounds and maybe tackling Todd Gurley in a one-on-one full head of steam or Tolbert could be a challenge. But covering people in space, covering zone coverage in that ground and that real estate, that should be a strength of his and a pretty cool finish for him to get that pick yesterday. Russell didn't throw a lot of those even in practice.
We've seen him throw a few, man. That's funny. This year I've actually seen him throw a couple of picks in practice, and I wonder how much of it is him trying to figure out the new system and doing some things a little bit differently this year.
Could be. I also saw a bunch of touchdowns yesterday, thrown deep and over the top and into some real tight windows. So, you know, you said earlier, I think in takeaways, like the one-on-one drill I was referencing, where the O-line held their own and more than held their own, especially on the edges. Well, that's a positive for the O-line. That's a challenge for the defense. You know, an interception by Shaquem is awesome for the defense, but why is Russell throwing it? It's that give and take, and
always.
You kind of want both of those storylines throughout
you know
the
what?
Entirety of camp.
Nothing is going to beat Shaquem Griffin picking the ball off for me. Like, that's just amazing. Dude's got one hand, and he's out there intercepting NFL top three, top five quarterbacks. Like at Brock.
Yeah, you know what else I loved?
Look, I'll tell you. I mean, and as we said, there's very few places in the game of football where I feel like I can tell you about something that you don't know. But playing the game with one hand and playing the game with in my case, a big pad wrapped around my hand. And any time you catch the ball like that, you feel like it's just a giant victory. There's a bunch of other things that you kind of find your way through. And he's got, you know, it's not like he has no arm. I mean, he can still use what he does have to help him a little bit. But the idea of picking off an NFL quarterback, even in practice, but a guy at Russell Wilson's caliber with one hand, like, I don't know that you can make enough of that story. It's insane. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
So freaking cool. It just has me jacked up.
And it was really cool watching him yesterday in one-on-one coverage. You know, the linebackers covering running backs out.
Yeah.
And ProSize and Carson, these guys are good, man, as Bobby said. They can really run and really move. And he was getting beaten. Instead of head down or pouting, he was just banging his chest. He wanted right back in. Pete runs over to him. Hey, you know, cut this leverage off. Cut this space off. So, yeah, been fun to see his energy on the field and his story, as you said, one of the best in all of football.
And everybody's teaching out here. A lot to learn for these young guys. A lot of young names that maybe we don't know as much about. We'll see how they develop here. If they all develop the way Tedrick Thompson appears to be, that's good news, of course, for the Seahawks. All right. We need your questions, man. It is time to answer your questions. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject. I got my eye on somebody over here who's going to come over and help me out a little bit there and answer the question, Brock. So you can go do all your important college football things for your real job instead of your little side hustle over here. We will talk to you soon.
Hey, no shots. I apologize.
No,
I took some shine.
Jeff,
I love
Jeff
you.
Got me all worked up, man. I kind of see how you operate.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry,
you just can't
bro.
Let anyone around you have anything. It's always got to be about you.
I love you.
Don't
Howdy,
you think?
Lydia. See you, Raj. Love you guys. Talk to you
love
later.
You, Brock.
See you, buddy. Bye. Answer the question, jerk. We need some questions. Shoot them in. We'll answer them next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, Brock had to run, but we're going to finish up with a little answer the question, jerk, here from Seahawks training camp. I found G.
Hey!
What up, G Scott?
What's happening? It's the 9 o'clock crowd on the Brock and Salk show. I missed y'all around the sports. Today I get to stick to sports. What are we talking about?
Well, we're doing answer the question, jerk.
So oh, so you? Oh, okay.
Very little sports.
So you don't want me to talk sports with
no,
you guys? Okay,
I don't want any
that's cool.
Out of you.
That's cool. I missed you guys.
Your show, Zach and G.
Yeah, 7 to 10 on Cairo 97.3 FM.
You're having fun with this. You've been doing it for a while.
Having a lot of fun, man. Talking a lot of news, local, national
news. Huh?
Yeah.
Is there anything going on in the world? Not these days.
No.
All right, let's see what we got. Dopey questions for you, G. I know these are your specialty.
Yeah.
Which is more annoying, spreading butter on a waffle or trying to spread non-whipped hard cream cheese on a bagel?
The butter on the waffle. Because here's why: I'm just so hungry. I don't have time for that, but I do have the patience. You can eat waffles without the butter,
right?
You can't eat no bagel without the cream cheese.
Right, of course.
So, therefore, I'm going to go ahead. I'm more patient
with cream
cheese.
But I'll say shame on you. Never buy hard cream cheese for a bagel. You get whipped cream cheese or don't bother, right?
Well, you and I, we're old, right? So, back in the day, we didn't have that. We weren't fortunate. We had the hard stuff. Well, you always had whipped?
I'm Jewish, man. We have whipped cream cheese.
Oh, you know, you know what it is?
Come on.
My mama, Scott, was on the WIC program. And on the WIC program, you couldn't get whipped. You got the hard blocks. You get the government cheat. I get it now. I get it.
Why you gotta make me look bad?
I'm not making you look bad. Making you look bad. I had the grandmama that was on WIC.
All right, jerks.
Next question.
All right, in the morning when you're getting dressed,
mm-hmm.
sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
Sock, shoe, shoe.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. You put your drawers on first?
I mean, I put my underwear on before I do anything.
Well, let me ask you, getting your personal business.
I'll go underwear and then pants.
Oh, I go underwear, then cologne.
Oh, well, I don't wear cologne. I naturally smell sweet. Underwear and then pants and then a shirt last. And then socks.
Shirts last.
Yeah.
Yeah, shirts last.
I don't like I feel uncomfortable wearing a shirt and underwear without pants. It doesn't feel right to me.
And I'm going to judge someone that goes sock, shoe. That's weird.
That's a little weird. I'll.
Boy, howdy's a sock, shoe. I guarantee it.
Is that true, howdy?
You're crazy.
Boy, howdy's weird.
That's true anyway. Jerks.
Next
is
question.
Alex Colomé's hair legit? My wife, who does hair, thinks that it's an extension. I don't think so.
There's Alex Colomé hair truthers out there?
I've not noticed that.
Okay, y'all want to help me out and tell me who that is?
Well, come on. You ever watch Colomé pitch in the eighth inning for the Mariners yet? Dude, you get off sports, you don't even watch baseball, do you?
I'd be watching. I was watching last night. By the way, that was a great win.
Well, he's the one who pitched in the eighth inning.
My God, the diabetic got up there. Oh, excuse me, Sugar got up there and closed the deal last night.
Did you see him taking jump shots down in Venice Beach?
Sugar can shoot.
Yeah.
Can he shoot?
He's not bad.
He and Aaron
were down there together and shooting some jumpers at Venice Beach. He can shoot.
By the way, man, I'll be watching. You just can't have Sugar in a tie game situation. I know we ain't talking baseball, but man, I don't know why he'd be getting nervous.
I'm pretty sure Sugar called the LeBron to LA thing actually on a podcast.
Did he?
I'm pretty sure.
How?
He just had a prediction in the offseason.
I forgot Lydia. Hey, Lydia. What's up?
Oh, I know. I'm very forgettable, G. It's okay. Love you, too.
Not by Bobby. Bobby shouted out Lydia today.
Did he?
Yeah. Bobby Wagner shouted out.
It was only
Lydia.
Because he was very grateful that I continue to play this drop, as I should.
Yeah. Is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
No.
No. Screw that one up six different ways. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Lydia. Appreciate that.
Next question.
Gee, was the government cheese the size of a football?
It was longer than a football. The government cheese, yeah, it was longer. But man, by the way, whoever sent that text in, if you ever had government cheese, boy, it was the greatest grilled cheese sandwich of your life.
Is it American cheese?
I doubt it. No,
it doesn't have real.
No.
It doesn't have a name.
It's for real processed, but it was processed in the best kind of way.
Jerks, today is National Avocado Day. Avocado Day, excuse me. Are you? How excited are you about avocados?
I have avocado every day. Avocado toast. That's right. I know. Shout out to the millennials.
So you went from government cheese to avocado toast on the reg.
That's right. Avocado toast, park and rec. I live a totally different life
money
now,
changed you, G. Money changed you.
Money, hey, out there on the bluff, things have changed, G-Raj.
That's true.
You didn't forget where you came from.
Yeah, I just talked about government cheese.
There you go.
Well, he can remember. He just doesn't act like it anymore.
Next question.
Jerks, what would be your wrestling finishing move? For example, Lydia would have the turn your frown upside down.
I always think DDT. I don't know. That's what it
Jake
was,
the Snake?
That's what it was going down in the 80s. DDT! Dude.
My favorite finish, I mean, I don't know what mine would be, but if I were doing tag team, it would be that decapitation that they used to do. You remember Demolition?
Yeah.
Those guys
yeah.
with the painted
yeah.
faces? Yeah. They do the decapitation where once the guy was basically lifeless,
right.
you'd hold him with his head sticking out mm-hmm. on the ground, and then the other guy would jump off the top rope and come down with his elbow in the guy's head. I feel like that would do some damage.
I feel like believing in wrestling in the 80s was great, but that's why I judge C-Raj, guys, because C-Raj still believes in it today. It's
well,
kind of
I
weird.
Know that it's scripted, G. I still watch it, though.
The one that always got me as a kid, because I sort of... Once I knew it was scripted, do yeah. you remember? Maybe you remember this moment. Do you remember when Ricky the Dragon Steamboat
okay.
got hit in the head with the bell?
Yes.
And choked on his own tongue and
yes.
had to bring out the ambulance?
Yep.
I was 100% yep. convinced that yep. was real.
He's the best international intercontinental champion ever.
No, false.
Yes, he was.
False.
Yes, he was.
It's not
Ricky
true.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Nope. The best and I think probably longest running intercontinental champ was definitely the Honky Tonk Man. That guy was always the Intercontinental Champ. A little shake, rattle, and roll.
Can I just say this about WWF as it was back then?
Yeah.
Well, they can't get away with some of the plots
no.
they did. I mean, you want to talk about whistle, whistle. Ooh, that's racist. Can't do that.
Yeah, they did a lot of things that you just can't nor should do today. Let's see. G got to drop a track, government cheese to avocado toast. Thanks, buddy. Good to
I miss
see
you guys, man.
We miss you, too. G, you can listen to them 7 to 10.
That's right.
At night. Not in the morning. At yeah. night. Over on 97.3 Cairo Radio. Thanks, buddy. Good to see you.
Yes, sir.
What are you seeing out of practice? You like anybody here?
KJ Wright told me T2.
Everybody's saying T2. Bobby
T2.
Said it too.
Tedrick Thompson now, is the man 50 grand.
Now, is that real or is that just that he's not Earl and they're trying to pump it up?
I'm giving you one. I'm giving you
that's
for real.
The real.
That's the real.
That's the real.
Yeah. T2. Right. And, somebody threw an interception to Shaquem Griffin yesterday, but I got to go.
That. We saw that.
Hey, I got to go.
See you, buddy. There you go. There's G. Scott. Scott's service on the show tomorrow morning at 9:30. We'll be over at Safeco Field. See if the Mariners can win this series with a win tonight. We'll catch you guys tomorrow at 7. Till then, the hay is in the barn. See you,
never
everybody.
Said.
Hey, probably is. Yes.